Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Senior wealth advisor and market strategist for Murphy and Sylvester, Paul Nolte. Paul, good morning. Are you as optimistic as some of the investors I'm reading about are?
Good morning. I'm getting a little more nervous, and I think some of it is as a result of the unemployment numbers on Friday, which on the face look pretty good. We created a fair amount of new jobs, but the revisions to the prior 2 months were about 150,000 negative, and the unemployment rate ticked up to 4.1%, and that is well above now. It's 10-month average. And normally what happens with unemployment is as it starts to rise, it gets quicker in its ascent, if you will. So we could see 4.2, then 4.4, 4.6. And it's going to be at that point that the Fed is going to be concerned about the economy. I don't think, and we'll get some comments from Chair Powell today in front of Congress, I don't think they're worried as much about inflation. I think they're going to be worried about economic growth. And as long as economic growth is okay, they're not going to be cutting rates. But if we start to see economic growth deteriorate meaningfully, that's when we'll start to see interest rate cuts.
What did you make of the unemployment report, and how does that factor into all of this?
Yeah, you know, and that's what I was saying. You know, the headline number was good, but the revisions to the back months took away 150,000 new jobs. And that's what happened, and I guess what's been happening, we've seen negative revisions now in 11 of the last 12 months. Historically, that's not been a good sign for the economy going forward when you have those revisions downward as opposed to upward. So people forget, well, we had 200,000 new jobs. Yeah, but we revised the back months negative by 150. So when you factor that in, job growth was not nearly as strong as what the headline numbers might say.
As you wrote in your newsletter, the Fed does not cut rates when the economy is doing well. Once they do begin cutting, it's usually not a one and done, though, is it?
No, it's not. We've seen this play out countless different times where the Fed tends to be a little bit behind the curve, if you will. So they will wait until they see deterioration in the economy before they start cutting rates. Same is true when they started raising rates. Remember, inflation was north of 6-7% before they really started raising rates a couple of years ago, and then they were very aggressive about raising rates. Then when they start cutting rates, they may do it in 25 basis point increments unless things get kind of ugly, then it will get to 50 basis points. So the Fed is not a leading indicator, but tends to be a lagging indicator of the economy. So that's why you need to take a look at a variety of the economic reports. And like I said, a lot of the reports that we've had lately have come in a little bit below expectations. So again, we're starting to see some signs of cracks in the economy, especially from the service side, which has been very, very strong. The ISM data that came out last week was below 50, which is indication of contraction on the service side, which is the first time that's happened in a couple of years.
The wage growth numbers are good, aren't they?
Wages are very good. Wage growth came in a little bit above 4%. That's ahead of the rate of inflation. So the average worker should be keeping up with or ahead of the rate of inflation. It's difficult, though, because everybody's like, well, yeah, but, you know, what about oil? What about food prices? What about this, that, and the other thing? And that's why I said, when you take a look at inflation, inflation is very specific to the individual family. Depending on where your kids are at, how many kids you have, if you have any, where you're at maybe in retirement, you could have a big difference in what your personal rate of inflation is versus that headline number. So the headline number can be very deceiving depending upon where you're at in your own personal life.
As far as the stock market is concerned, is the thinking now that the technology sector will continue to be strong and move up?
That's the $3 trillion question. We've got three stocks now at $3 trillion. Each of those are equal to the size of the small cap index. They have led, they have provided most all of the return for the S&P 500. 65% of the return so far this year has come from those handful of seven stocks. Whether that continues or not, it's hard for me to say yes, it's going to continue for the next 3 to 5 years. Can it continue for the next 3 to 5 weeks? Probably. Next 3 to 5 years is going to be kind of hard for that justification because we haven't figured out yet how to use AI. AI is all the rage, and that's where we're getting a lot of the spending that's been going on, but we haven't really seen the solution set that comes from using AI. And it's been very uneven. We've seen companies like McDonald's walk away from some of their AI usage. Others are still trying to figure out, and we've all read the stories of the less than imperfect use of AI when trying to write a story.
Seems like many financial advisors are preaching the old diversified portfolio approach again. And for a while, I think that was being questioned, but I'm hearing a lot more of that lately. How come?
Well, because it's been such a one-way market. It's been the S&P 500. It's been dominated, as we talked about, with those tech names for the last couple of years, that anything that you invested in away from that really hurt your portfolio return. So to give you an example, even this year, the S&P 500 is up over 15%. The average stock is only up 3 to 4%. So that huge divergence is extremely unusual. We would expect that to contract and get back closer to break even or at least equal. And because of that, we think small cap, international, even bonds. Bonds are providing a 4%+ rate of return, no risk, no fuss, no muss. And eventually we're going to see a recession. We get these every 3 to 5 years. And those are going to be some better places to be, I think, investors, when the markets turn down, whatever that is, are going to be taking it from those areas that have been extremely profitable. So I think the tech names are the ones that are going to be most at risk whenever the economy and or the markets turn lower.
The Fed chairman is going to be talking to Congress this week. Will you be hanging on every word, Paul?
No. And the main reason for it is, you know, it tends to be more show, and not necessarily on Powell's side, but on the senators and Congress and the House of Representatives side. They score political points. They're asking about different things in their districts, or they're trying to talk about, you know, it would be better if you lower interest rates. It would be helpful for the economy. Yes, it would, but it would also be harmful for inflation. So it tends to be, unfortunately, it shows the Congress does not necessarily understand monetary policy, and that's been very evident by a lot of different questions from the different Congress people.
Paul Nolte, Murphy and Sylvester, we hang on your every word, Paul.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Take care.